bakarabaka osigidi bakashigidi ambaya karabo sedidi bashakarabaka osakapa ikarabaka osigidi ba yesekidi bakapa shakarabo osigidi ba yakapa shakadaba nasta. You're the God of everything, no one like you, no one like you, no one like you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Precious Savior, we give you glory, we give you honor, we give you adoration. Thank you for your hand. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, praise God. It's another good morning that God has given us to study His Word, and I trust that God has kept you, has watched over you, and continues to bless you. I know that we are carrying on with a series of teachings, and I know that God continues to bless us, to speak to us, and to meet us in at our point of learning, to give us, to help us have an understanding of the language that He wants us to learn. And we've been learning about our positioning in Christ. We've been learning about the blessings that Christ has given us, what He did for us on the cross of Calvary, and what it means for the believer. And for me, it's a blessing that I can come to you. And if it's been a blessing, feel free to share the message with others. Follow the group. If you've not yet followed, you can also go on YouTube and find us. And you can follow. That will be a blessing to us and to you. So I will carry on with our teaching. And today we are quickly going to jump into Ephesians chapter 2. And we will focus today on where we speak of being seated with Christ in heavenly places. And that will be in verse 6. But before that, we will look at how God has made us alive. And the Bible tells us, if we're going to read Ephesians chapter 2, and you He has quickened, and it says, and you He has He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So maybe I'll just read that in NLT. It says, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live it that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger just as everyone else. So, and then it will go in and say, but God is so rich in mercy that, and He loved us, that He, even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace you have been saved. For He raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ Jesus. And so God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of His grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all He has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. So God is reminding us and is telling us that, you know what? You are dead. And Ephesians, Paul is telling the church, remember that Before you met Christ, you were dead. And why? Because you were dead in your sins. You are living according to the pattern of this world. You are living according, you are under the control of the devil. And remember, the Bible is telling us the prince of the power of the air, who is that spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. So though anyone in the world, anyone who has not come to Christ, is under the control of the devil and is under the control of the powers of darkness, and he works in them to, you know, to, and they're called the children of disobedience. And this is because in their hearts, they have refused to obey God. And you see, one, that's the thing about God. God has made himself plain to people. The Bible tells us in Romans 1:18 that since the creation, since the beginning of time, God has made himself plainly known to us, his invisible qualities. You know, in creation, anyone who has seen creation, anyone who has seen the glory of the world, I mean the glory of the created things, you look at the skies, you look at the plants, you look at the mountains, you can just say, surely there was a God behind this. There was someone who made this, and God has made it clear to everyone that he exists. And the Bible says, so that no man is without excuse. There's no one who can have an excuse that he does not know God, or God has not revealed himself to them. No one has an excuse. Even those who claim that there is no God, they have no excuse, because they will try to prove something to them that does not exist, which does not make sense, and they form a belief system out of that. So it doesn't make sense. But anyone who has a rational mind, anyone with a conscience, anyone who opens their eyes or sees or experiences nature or experiences the creation, will come to the understanding that surely someone has made this, and this person is God. But you see, the challenge with being in the world is that the prince of the air, the devil, Satan, who is the prince of the air, and he's that spirit that works in the children of disobedience. And by working in them, the Bible says, among whom also we all had our conversation in the times past, or rather, all of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, of the sinful nature. Remember, when the Bible speaks of the flesh, it does not speak of meat. It speaks of the desires of sinful nature. And all of us, we lived under living in obedience to the desires, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And by nature, we were subject to God's, we were children of wrath, even as others. That tells us that, remember when we read Romans chapter 8, it says that the flesh, the mind controlled by sinful nature is death. And those who live according to the flesh cannot please God. God desires us that we live according to the Spirit. So in the past, we lived according to the flesh. We satisfied our own desires. We lived the way we wanted. But right now, the Bible says, you have been quickened. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin. But you see, Bible is telling us that God was rich in mercy. God is rich in mercy, and his great love, that he loved us. Now just think of that. If you think of someone in the world, someone who is living in sin, they have no capacity on their own to save themselves. They have zero ability on their own human effort or power to save themselves, unless God demonstrates and shows mercy to them. And how does God show mercy to them? He shows mercy to the unbelievers when we pray for them. Someone has to intercede, someone has to pray, someone has to stand in the gap such that God will intervene on behalf of the unbeliever. It could be a parent, it could be a friend, it could be those churches that are praying in an area, those who are intercessors, as they're praying over a city, as they're praying over a people. What God does is that he starts to show his mercy to his people. And he starts to show mercy to the unbelievers, and he brings them to a place where they can have an understanding of the truth. Because many people live in ignorance, they are controlled, they are under the powers of the devil. And the reason why we do spiritual warfare primarily is actually to rescue people from the kingdom of darkness and to bring them to the kingdom of light. That asking God, we ask God, we rebuke the devil, we rebuke the forces of darkness, we come against them such that they do not hold the people captive over a place. Think of what Philip, when he went to the city of Samaria, the Bible says that in the city of Samaria, there was a sorcerer, Simon the sorcerer, who was called the mighty power because for a long time he had bewitched the entire city. He had bewitched them with his many signs, performing signs and miracles to them. But what did happen? When Philip went, the Bible says he preached Christ and he performed great wonders, and demons were cast out of people, and they came out with large shrieks, and the lame were healed, the deaf were healed, and great signs and miracles did Philip do by the power of the Holy Spirit, and everyone believed in Jesus Christ and they followed him. And the Bible says even Simon the sorcerer followed him, believed, and was baptized among them. But you see, his heart was still not yet converted, because he was still not, his focus was still on the place of flesh. He wanted to make money, he wanted to see how he can control people again. He was still desiring his old life. He was still desiring the life that he had before, where he was the great power, where everyone worshipped him, where everyone, he had bewitched everyone. But you see, that is how the devil controls, that is how the devil entices even the believers who have come to Christ. What the devil does, he entices our sinful nature. He entices us to satisfy our flesh. He entices us to fall into sin. Sin does not live in us because we have been made alive. Sin cannot work in us, but sin comes as a temptation to us. And when we submit ourselves to that sin, what happens is that the devil takes advantage. He takes advantage of our submission to that sin, and we find ourselves that we are falling captives to sin. So what are we learning? We are learning that in the past, we lived in sin. We lived according to the control of the devil. We were under his mercy. He would work in us, and by that, we became enemies of God. But you see, God is rich in mercy. Yes, we lived as enemies of God. Yes, we did whatever we wanted. We lived wherever we wanted. But God, remember the word is God is rich in mercy. He poured out his mercy to us. He showed his mercy to us, and the Bible says he loved us. And even when we were dead in sins, he has quickened us. That means he has made us alive together with Christ. We have been quickened us together with Christ. We are not made alive on our own. No, the same way that Christ was raised from the dead, we are also raised from the dead. So we are no longer dead in sin, but we are raised up together. And what does God do? He makes us to sit together with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Remember, we've been learning that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus is a place in the heavens. There's a place of authority that Christ was given. The Bible says he was raised up and seated in the highest place, far above all thrones, all dominions, all powers, all principalities, every name in this age and in the age to come. You can imagine anything that has a name. If you can name sickness, Christ is higher than it. If you can name corona, Christ is higher than it. If you can name cancer, Christ is higher than this. And Christ was elevated to that higher place. And where did he take us? He sat us together with him there in heavenly places. So there is no way that cancer should be above us unless we are operating from the earth, unless we are operating from the ignorance of our place in the heavens. When we have the knowledge, when we have the understanding of where Christ has elevated us to, of where he has raised us up to, of where he has sat us in, if we have understanding of the place that Christ has brought us to that elevation, then we know the authority that the believer has. First of all, we are made alive. We are not dead. We are not under the control of the devil. And if you want to picture it, think of three layers. think of the first layer or the first heavens, which is the earth, where which is where we operate in. Then think of the second heavens, which is the air, where the Bible says where the prince of air works in the spirit of disobedience, where he controls, where the demons operate in the angelic realm, where there is that blockage, where they try to fight and to control the earth. And then think of the highest heavens, not just even the heaven, not just the throne of God, higher. The highest place in the heavens is where Christ is seated. And the Bible tells us that he has quickened us and made us alive and has sat us together with him in the heavenly places because we are united with Christ. When we join ourselves to Christ, when we learn of Christ, when we obey Christ, when we come to know him, the Bible says he elevates us. He takes us from the first heavens and he sits us up in the third heavens. And that is why that is a place of the authority. So our job, as long as we know that, as long as we believe that, as long as we live in that, and we that belief system and that obedience and that living that truth, when we live in that place of authority, we have victory. We have victory. Why? Because our lives are hidden in Christ and Christ is in God. So no witchcraft can find us. No demon can find us. And I know maybe some people, it's out of fear. It's more of like, oh no, so it's better I hide in God. No, it's not only just out of fear. It's a place of power. It's a place where you make decrees. It's where you can declare this is the last time that someone in my family will die before their time. This is the last time that this death that comes when people, no one can reach the age of 60, we bind it. This is the last time that poverty will be, you know, will be in our lineage, that I am going to make a difference. I'm going to be a change. I'm going to be the change in my family that my family has not seen. Why? Because I know who I am. You know, when we sing, I know who I am. I know what God says I am. You know, everything. Do you know who you are? Do you know who Christ has made you? Do you know the authority of the believer? Do you know the authority of Christ that is also conferred upon us? Why? Because we are united with Christ. God has united us with him. You have been made to sit with Christ in heavenly places, far above all thrones, all powers, all dominions, every name. As long as you give it a name, Christ is higher than this, in this age and in the world to come. It doesn't matter what will come in the future. As long as it has a name, the Bible says Christ, Jesus Christ, was given a name that is above every other name, that at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee in heaven and on the earth must bow down to the name of Jesus Christ. And why did God do this? Verse 7 tells us that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Verse 8, for by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. God just decided to show us mercy. God just, in his own love, he decided to show us his grace. In his own love, he decided to show us his faithfulness. In his own love, he just decided to say, no, I'm going to demonstrate my kindness to man. And this is what God does. He demonstrates his kindness. He demonstrates his power. He demonstrates his great love for us who are dead in sin. And he sends Christ to die for us, and that Christ makes us alive. And not only does he make us alive, he also gives us authority by sitting us together with him in heavenly places. And the Bible tells us that it is by grace. It is by God's unmerited favor. It is by God's mercy that we are saved through faith, and that is not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. Who can boast of a gift? There is no one who can boast that they made themselves righteous. There is no one who can boast that they can make themselves holy. There is no one who can boast that it is their human effort that has made them where they are. No, everything is a gift of God. Everything is by the grace of God. Everything is by the mercy, by the gifting of God, by the mercy, by the faithfulness of God. It is only by grace. It is by grace we have been saved through faith. Just the mercy of God. But we exercise our faith. Our job is to believe it. The only job that you need to do is to believe it. How will we know that we believe it? It's not just by the saying. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ died and God raised him from the dead, then you shall be saved. And that faith is not just a passive faith, is not just a faith that is hidden, but is a faith that is also demonstrated, that also is seen in actions. Why do we say this? The Bible says, not by works. We are not saved by works so that anyone may boast. So nothing that we do makes us saved, but everything that we do because we are saved. Look at the difference. It's not, we don't do anything to be saved, but everything that we do is because we are saved. And that is why the Bible tells us in verse 10, for we are his workmanship. You are a special creation of God. You're a special design of God created in Christ Jesus. God took his time to form you in Christ. God took his time to make you in Christ. We are created in Christ Jesus. Remember, we are a new creation. We are not just earthly, we are spiritual. We have our inner man. There's an inner man in us that is spiritual, that is made in the image and likeness of God. And that is the glory of the new man, that in our inner man, we are made in the image and likeness of God. We carry the DNA of God. We are born of God, and we are born of divine seed and incorruptible seed. We are born of the precious blood of Jesus, and by that seed we overcome the world. Whoever that is born of God overcomes the world. So remember, it says we are God's workmanship. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, and to do good works. For we are God's masterpiece. Look at NLT. It says, I love the way it says, for we are God's workmanship. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. So we can do good works which God ordained that we should walk in them. Everything that you do as a Christian, everything that you do when you put your faith in Christ, every creation, everything, whether it is miracles, whether it is signs, whether it is church, whether it is evangelism, whether it is in your marketplace, it is in history, whether you're becoming a president or anything, anything that you do, you are God's masterpiece created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for you to do. Actually, I love the way it says he prepared, he has ordained that we should walk in them. So you are ordained. You are ordained for something. You are set apart for something. You are chosen for something. You are ordained for good works. When you come to salvation, when you come to know God, you are ordained for good works which God prepared in advance for you that you should walk into them. Your prayer should be like, God, show me the things that you prepared in advance for me to do. God, open my eyes to see the doors that you have placed before me, that I should walk in them. Oh God, help me to know the destiny that you have prepared for me, because many people are not living in the destiny that God prepared for them. Many people are not living according to the purposes that God prepared for them. Some people are teachers, yet they are meant to be pastors. Some people are pastors, yet they are meant to be businessmen. There is something that God prepared. There is a door that God opened. There is a place that God prepared for you to walk into. If only you come back to Christ, if only you find yourself in Christ, if only you're made alive in Christ and you believe it and you ask the Father, God, what is it that you made me to be? And God is able to reveal that. God is more than able to reveal the things that he ordained for us to do. And I thank you, as even as we come to the end of our message, I want us to just give thanks to God, to know that it is by grace that we have been saved, not our human effort, not our own ability, not our own capacity, but it is His mercy. And we shall take a moment to pray. And if you've never given your life to Jesus, today is just a day that you can. And it's just simply as giving, believing in Jesus Christ, that He is the Son of God, and that He came for you. And the death He had on the cross, He died for us. And when we put our faith in God, that is the place where we receive life, God makes us alive. And not only does He make us alive, He raises us from the dead and He sits us in heavenly places with Him, the place of authority, and you have the authority of Christ. You are in Christ, and Christ is in God, and you have power over every work of the devil. And you can just say, devil, be gone. The Bible says, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Devil has no power over you. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to encourage us, to speak to us, to teach us your ways, to teach us the grace that you've poured out upon us, oh God, that in your mercy, you are rich in mercy, you have poured out your love for us, you've poured out your grace, your faithfulness, your mercy to us, that we who walked in sin, we who are dead in sin, that you have made us alive in Christ. And I thank you for the new life that you're giving my brother, my sister, who is coming to you in repentance and asking you to forgive them. I pray that that life shall be made manifest. They shall know and have understanding of the place of authority that you've given us, oh God. And not only that, to know and to recognize that it is by grace that we have been saved, not of our own works, lest any man can boast, oh God, but it is the gift of God. It is a gift of God. Thank you for this gift of salvation, oh God. And indeed, you say we are God's workmanship. We are His masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, oh God. I pray that you may open our eyes, open our understanding to know the good works, to see the doors that you have opened before us, that even one door is enough indeed to change our destinies, oh God, to change the course of our lives, that indeed we should be obedient to that call that you have called us to do, oh God. And I thank you for them that are trusting you for healing, them that are trusting you for answers, that I'm trusting you for breakthrough. I speak life over their situations. Everything that is dead, I speak life. May it come back to life. Cancer be gone, lameness be gone, deafness be gone, blindness be gone, because Father, you are the healer. And I speak healing in the name of Jesus Christ, by the authority of Christ. I pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. I pray and believe. Amen. Have a blessed, blessed day. Shalom. And may God keep you and watch over you and bless you in all ways. In Jesus' name, we pray and believe. Amen. Bye-bye. Until we meet again.